Let's look some more at the brain and alcohol. And the focus this time would be aggression. And if you've ever been around someone who, poured more liquor into them than they could actually handle, how did they begin to act? Well, some people get aggressive when they're drinking. Some people do. There's a new study led by Thomas Denson. He's at the University of New South Wales in Sydney, Australia. The results were published in the journal Cognitive, Affective, and Behavioral Neuroscience. And as Denson and his colleagues wrote in their paper, inebriation, drunkenness, is involved in how many violent crimes? Now, keep in mind now what I just shared with you, violent crimes. Yes. Of all the violent crimes that they looked into, what percentage of them would you say involved drunkenness? Would you say 20% or more? Would you say 10%? Violent crimes. How many of them, what percentage of them involved drunkenness? Would you believe half? Half of all violent crimes involved inebriation, drunkenness. Someone had poured more liquor into their brains. The whole body is, of course, but the brain is really taking a hit here. Poured more liquor into themselves than they could handle. Homicide, physical assault, sexual assault, domestic violence, child abuse are only some of the crimes that are associated with heavy alcohol use. Be careful about how we view this abuse thing, too. You'll know that I really think that it's important that we care about abuse and we care about the victims of abuse, regardless of gender, regardless of ethnicity. We care about all victims of abuse. And you think about the fact that, again, half of all violent crimes include child abuse and domestic violence. Combined with an aggressive predisposition, even just one drink or two can incite violence. Some people are predisposed to alcoholism. There's something in them, in their genes, in their DNA, that makes it easy for them to become alcoholics. And they may not have to drink as much as people who are not genetically predisposed to become alcoholics. That doesn't mean that the death warrant has been signed. It doesn't mean this is a done deal. It doesn't mean that, hey, they're alcoholics no matter what. It does mean that if they do begin to drink, they have a higher probability, a greater risk of becoming alcoholics than people who do not have the genetic predisposition to become alcoholics. It is pretty much the same way with a person who has an aggressive predisposition. If a person is already an aggressive person or predisposed to being aggressive and displaying aggressive behavior, all it takes is one drink and they can become violent. Previous neuroscientific studies have attempted to explore the brain mechanisms that are behind this phenomenon. Most studies have hypothesized that changes in the brain's prefrontal cortex, one of the most highly developed areas of the brain that coordinates decision-making, judgment, and emotional control, among other things. Emotional control. And so there are studies that have hypothesized that changes in this part of the brain may account for alcohol-induced aggression. However, imaging data was mostly insufficient. So Denson and his team set out to fill that gap in the understanding by placing 50 young men inside an MRI scanner to study what goes on in their brains after they've had one or two drinks. This is what they found. Alcohol definitely dampens the brain's prefrontal cortex. And remember, that's the part of the brain that helps to coordinate decision-making, judgment, and emotional control, among other things. It was reduced in its ability to do what it does. The 50 participants were divided into two groups, one whose members received up to three vodka drinks, and the other group whose members received alcohol-free or placebo drinks. They may have been thinking they were consuming alcohol. That's usually what the placebo is. The placebo is something that is given to study participants, and they really don't know if they're getting the real thing or not. Sometimes the groups are told that one of the groups is going to receive a placebo, which will not be the real thing. Maybe once in a while they're not told about the placebo, and they all think they're getting the real thing. In this case, the real thing was vodka, and the placebo was an alcohol-free drink. And all of these men were placed into the MRI magnetic resonance imaging scanners. They had to complete, while they were inside the MRI scanner, they had to complete a modified version of the so-called Taylor aggression paradigm. That's a traditional tool that's been used for the past half a century to assess levels of aggression in a retaliatory scenario. The brain scans revealed that activity in the prefrontal cortices, the prefrontal cortex of each of those men who had the alcoholic drinks, was considerably diminished compared with that of those who had the placebo drinks. And remember now, we're talking about up to three drinks. We're not talking about a gallon, up to three drinks. The same effect also was seen in brain areas associated with reward processing, the so-called caudate and ventral striatum, whereas in the hippocampus, a brain area that deals with learning and forming new memories, the researchers actually noted increased activity. So these results support theories that posit a role for prefrontal cortical dysfunction as an important factor in intoxicated aggression. The prefrontal cortex begins to function in a way that it's not supposed to. It doesn't work the way it should work because of the alcohol. And again, not a gallon, not a whole bottle, up to three drinks. So maybe less than three drinks for some of them. Denson further explains the findings by saying that although there was an overall dampening effect of alcohol on the prefrontal cortex, even at a low dose of alcohol, they observed a significant positive relationship between dorsal medial and dorsal lateral prefrontal cortex activity and alcohol-related aggression. Those regions may support different behaviors, such as peace versus aggression, depending on whether a person is sober or intoxicated. So they're encouraging future larger scale investigations into the neural nervous, that which has to do with the nerves, neural underpinnings of alcohol-related aggression with stronger doses and clinical samples. Doing so could eventually substantially reduce alcohol-related harm. And remember, alcohol is involved in about 50% of all violent crimes. This reduction in alcohol-related harm could be very, very welcome. In the U.S., a recent survey reported that around 40% of people imprisoned for violent crimes were drunk when they committed those violent crimes. Now, let's look at three sources of intoxication. something that can have a negative impact on the brain. Alcohol, cocaine, and heroin. I know some of you have probably heard about, possibly been around, read about people who were on heroin in particular, and it seemed like they just could not be hurt. Alcohol, cocaine, heroin. Which of these is involved in more homicides than the others? Alcohol, cocaine, heroin. Which of these is involved in more homicides than the others? Would you believe that alcohol is involved in more homicides than cocaine and heroin combined?